caídas y fracasos, y considero cada vez que le fallé, me asombra esa gracia que me ha dado y el amor que en Cristo yo encontré. Yo no podría pagar el precio de este amor, pero cada vez que vengo ante el Señor, redimido soy por el Cordero de Dios, y limpio voy ante el gran yo soy. Él no me mira a mí, ve la sangre de
need to go to church, so we'll see you later. God bless you. Y'all can slip out and head out to your church. That was a blessing. Thank you, Abraham, for putting that together. Man, you're going to, I tell you, you can pick that thing. I'm telling you. Oh, that's playing good. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. That's a blessing, isn't it, folks? I'm glad Ryan could sing and be a part of that. Him and his family started this. Oh, my goodness. How many Decembers ago now? Seven? I'm thinking seven Decembers ago. And you know what? A church is built just a little bit at a time. That's a healthy group of folks up there. Amen. That's good singing. God bless you. Brother Hall is going to do our scripture reading tonight. Come on, brother.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 40. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. While you're turning there, let's go ahead and stand. Psalm chapter number 40, verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first verse if you can join me on the second, and then I'll finish with the third. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I'll start on the first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the evening. I pray, Lord, that you please be with the special music now. I pray, Lord, that you please speak to our hearts, be with the preaching then also to follow. Fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit's power. In your name we pray, amen.
Understood, yet they shouted, "Crucify!" Pilate said, "One shall go free, so which man will it be?" They cried, "Jesus has to die, he was guilty of loving me." There was no
that. I'm going to use this microphone, Brother Tom, if you would, please, again, this evening, stay here, right here behind the pulpit. Voice is a little stronger, I think. We'll see when we get into it. But I'm glad I'm doing the message tonight with the story behind the song. I want to speak on that third verse where the Bible says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth." And I want to just title this, "If You Don't Like to Sing." I want to talk to you a little bit. If you don't like to sing, I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the good things we've enjoyed. Good to see the little kids get their justly earned rewards. And Lord, good to hear the Spanish people sing and glorify you and see what you've done in that department through Brother Abraham, Brother Armendariz, Brother Harrison, all these that have worked up there these years. Good to see the great number of folk coming and growing in your word. And then, Lord, with the story behind the song and all the emphasis on singing, I pray that you'll help me tonight in this message. And, Lord, warm our hearts to the idea, warm our hearts to the opportunity to lend our voices together, blend in one great big choir, congregational singing. And, Lord, help us to enjoy what you've given us and the great thing we call a song. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have enjoyed our year of singing. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the different things that we are doing and have done to make the year special. It's hard to believe it's about over. I mean, about five or six more Sundays and it's over. The year of singing is done. But I've enjoyed it. I enjoy the gray book. The gray book will hang around after the year's over. We'll continue to use the gray book. I've enjoyed that gray book. I've enjoyed the giving away the CD. I've enjoyed giving away those CDs. And we only have a few more of those left to give away, of course. I've enjoyed the extra song on Sunday nights. I've enjoyed that. And I don't know if we'll do away with that or not. We might just keep that. It's a good thing to do, singing songs. I've enjoyed the instrumental specials. Every time one of the girls or fellas played the piano and the other instrumental specials. And I think we have one, I think, lined up just about every weekend the rest of the year, just about, Brother Hall. And I appreciate that. I've enjoyed the stories behind the songs. Some of them I remember. Some I've forgotten. But I remember some of them. And when we sing those songs, it's a blessing to know the story behind that song. I've enjoyed the chorus of the month. I've enjoyed closing out the service by singing a different chorus. So I've enjoyed the year. I've enjoyed the year of singing. And part of the reason that I've enjoyed this year is because I love to sing. I love good music, and I love to sing. And I usually try to sing out at the very top of my voice. That's been, been a little difficult with all this going on, to not strip a gear and behave for the preaching, but I love to sing. I mean, I love to sing, and I love good singing. Now, David wrote these great words. He gave testimony of some wonderful things that God had done for him. He starts out by saying that God brought him up also out of a horrible pit, and that's, of course, where we all were before we got saved. Amen? In a horrible pit, and thank God he brought us out of that, okay? And then he said, out of the miry clay. Have you ever been in dirt or mud or clay so thick that it pulled your boot right off your shoe? Pulled your boot right off your foot? Or pulled your shoe right off your foot? That's exactly what he's talking about, miry clay. Now, I grew up in clay, Georgia clay. And man, when clay gets it gets nasty, all right? And when you step in soft clay, get that boot or that shoe in there, you'll pull right off your foot. And so he said he brought me out of the miry clay. And then he said he set my feet upon a rock. There's that rock, amen, that we talked about this morning. And then he said in verse number 3, and he hath established my goings, in verse 2 there. And then he said he hath put a new song in my mouth. Now, David testified that God had put a new song in his mouth. David said, I got a new song in my mouth. Now, I have a real problem with people, God's people, who don't like to sing. I have a real problem. Now, wait a minute. I don't have a problem with you if you can't sing. Okay? And there are some that can't. There's some, God has not blessed you with the ability to carry a tune in a bucket. All right? But that's okay. The Lord said, just make a joyful noise. All right? So you can do that. And I've said, times over the years when, you know, you met some people, heard them sing, and you didn't want to recruit them for the choir. No doubt. In fact, you were hoping that they never would volunteer for the choir. I've told you that story before about Brother Mick's dad, Brother Hall, out there leading that song out. Now, he lives. Man, that guy can crank a congregation up to sing a song. I'm not crying. My voice isn't breaking up, okay? And he can crank them up to sing a song. And he cranked that crowd up on that Sunday morning. It must have been Easter or something, singing He Lives. And John Hole was sitting out there, Brother Maxwell. John, you remember John Hole? And I'm telling you, Brother Hall said, let me hear you when you get down to that chorus, He Lives. Well, John let it rip. About 18 cube or whatever, 18 degrees off note. I mean, he sounded like a cow bellowing out in the pasture. And it shook up Mike Hall. I mean, he was like this, you know. He looked out there. I stand right back here. I laughed. I got so tickled. So, you know, if you can't carry a tune in the bucket, that's all right. You know, I don't got a problem with you if you can't sing. It's people who don't like to sing. I got a real problem. I got a problem with men. Some men come in and they think that singing is for sissies, you know, and they want to stand back and inspect the auditorium, look around at everybody that's singing. I got a real problem if you don't like to sing. I'll tell you what's sad now. Some of you need to get connected with your kids, because I stand up here on Sundays and Wednesdays, look out here, and I see, and I'm not talking about teenagers now, I'm talking about elementary school kids. Don't open their mouth during a song. There's a real disconnect between parents and child when that's going on. Don't open their mouth, and almost defiant. I watched it this morning. It's a sad thing to see. You got that going on in your home. You better take inventory. Find out what's happening with your children. That's not normal. Kids like to sing. Oh, that's right. So kids like to sing. So singing is not, singing is something that men do. I was blessed by the number of men up here tonight in that Spanish group sitting up there singing. You know, many of my preacher friends are good singers. Brother Woodward is a fantastic voice. Brother Woodward has sung at Abby's wedding and Hannah's wedding. And has a beautiful voice, Brother Woodward. Brother Sharp has a tremendous voice. He has a tremendous tenor voice. Am I right, Brother Bragg? Tremendous tenor voice. Can sing. Brother Ballard's got a good voice. Now, he'll cut up halfway through the song, have you laughing. But he's got a great voice. He can sing. I stood up here beside Phil Kidd. And he's got a good voice. Phil Kidd, when we had Brother Kidd here, he was singing. He had a good voice. I stood beside Brother Gomez. And, you know, he likes to sing. I'll say that much, all right? I'm not sure he's as quality as some of the others, but he'll get with the singing. He enjoys that. Yeah, I tell you who's got a good voice. Brother Brown's got a good voice. Brother Brown, he can really sing out there in Iowa. Brother Brown's got a tremendous voice. Dean Noonan, I was at his church one time. And he had a big group of folks. He sang in it. I don't know where guys get off on this idea that singing is for sissies, because every one of those guys I mentioned right there, pretty tough hombres, okay? And I wouldn't want to pick a fight with many of them. And they like to sing. Now, if you don't like to sing, I think you've got a bigger problem than just you don't like to sing. Number one, let me say this. If you don't like to sing, I believe you are anti-God's gift. Because in this psalm, David said, and he, that's done by God. He hath put a new song in my mouth. This is something that God does when He saves people. This is something that God does for His people. He puts a song in their mouth. So it's like, I don't like singing. It's like saying, God, I don't like what You gave me. Did you ever get a present, a birthday present or a Christmas gift for somebody? At a family gathering, Christmas time or birthday time, and you gave them a gift, and they opened it, you know, and they said some kind things, thank you, and then later on during the day, you overheard them talking to somebody, and it was obvious they were talking about how much they couldn't stand your gift. You know, man, I said, you see that? Another pair of socks. You know what I'm talking about? Now, let me ask you a question. How would you feel? How would you feel if you, and I'm not talking about a pair of socks, how would you feel if you purchased something decent, nice, saved some money, put some things together, and you bought a gift, and then you stand around the corner while they were in the dining room, you stand around the corner in the kitchen, and you heard them complaining and lamenting about the gift, how they don't like the gift, they don't care for the gift, and they didn't care for that the color, and they didn't like all that, and it probably won't work. And how would you feel after you, let me ask you a question. I wonder how God feels when He hears some of His people, I hate singing. I'll be so glad when that song service is over. I can't stand it when we have songs. I can't stand it when we have all these songs and have the choir sing. I wonder how God feels when He gave us a song. And then we talk bad about it. I wonder if God up in heaven says, Gabriel, Michael, look at this. Can you believe this? They're talking about my gift. I gave them a song. I gave her the gift of a song, and now they don't appreciate it. I think that's anti-God's gift. If you don't like to sing, you're anti-God's gift. That's not good. You need to enjoy what God's given you. No matter if you can't carry a tune, it's okay. Lift your voice in the best possible way you can and sing to the glory of God every service. Because that's God's gift. Amen? That's God. I'll tell you, you tell a lot about the spiritual temperature of a people by how they sing. That's the honest truth by how they sing. You know, people talk about Dr. Jack Krieber's church out there in California, North Valley, and how it's got a good spirit, good spirit. Some of our folks have been out there, good spirit, and it is. I've been there two or three times, and it's a great spirit. And I want to tell you something, that's a singing church. That is a singing. In fact, they made two CDs entitled The Singing Church. You can tell something about the spiritual temperature of a folk if they like to sing. So I hope that you like to sing. Amen. I don't know if you carry a tune in the bucket, man. Just lift your voice and praise God in a song. You don't want to be anti-God's gift. Number two, you don't want to be anti-Bible. Anti-Bible. Now look over here at Colossians chapter 3. Look in the New Testament at Colossians chapter 3. You don't want to be anti-Bible. Anti-Bible. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16 says something here about the subject of singing. He said, I don't like to sing. Well, you're anti-God's gift. And then if you don't like to sing, you don't like singing, you're anti-Bible. Because the Bible says, Paul writing here says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, Paul said, if the word of Christ dwells in you richly, then you're going to love singing. If the word of God dwells in my heart, the result, the overflow of the word of God dwelling in my heart is I'm going to enjoy singing. I'm going to love to sing. And if you have a bad attitude about singing, if you laugh and make fun of those who like to sing, then you're really giving us a testimony about your relationship with the Bible. There's something not right. Because if the Word of God is in you richly, if you're in the Bible and the Bible is in you, then you're going to enjoy good Christian music. Even if you can't sing, you'll enjoy hearing somebody else who can. Just like we heard those folks up here tonight. That blessed my heart. So I couldn't understand the words. I don't care. It was good music. And you knew it was about the Lord. And then we got it in English. It's a good thing. You're anti-Bible. You can't talk bad about singing. You can't dislike singing and be good with your Bible. Now, I tell you what, friend, I would hate to be anti-Bible. I'd hate to be anti-Bible. I'd hate to be against the book that had the power to bring salvation to my old wicked heart. Amen. I'd hate to be against the book that Jesus said would outlast heaven and earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right? So you want to be anti-singing, because if you are, you're anti-Bible. But there's a third thing. Not only are you anti-God's gift, not only are you anti-Bible, number three, you're anti-Holy Spirit. Anti-Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You say, I wouldn't want to be anti-Holy Spirit. Wouldn't want to be against God's Spirit. No, of course not. You wouldn't want to do that. That's why you need to love singing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Forgive me. That familiar verse, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now watch this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now this is just like the Bible. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the results will be you're going to have singing that will fill your heart, making melody in your heart to the Lord. People who are filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit like to sing. They enjoy singing. They are happy to lift their voice in praise to God. So you tell me, you don't like to sing, and yet the one who lives in your body loves to sing. The one who lives in your body motivates you to sing. If he controls you, he makes you excited to sing, and you talk about, I don't like to sing. What you're doing is giving a confession about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is controlling you, you're going to enjoy singing. You're going to enjoy it. You know, I've said before and used this illustration before. Before I met Joyce Christer and became her husband, I didn't know a whole lot about the state of Iowa. I really didn't. In fact, when I first met her, I thought that's where they grow potatoes. That's Idaho. That offends an Iowan. If you don't have enough sense to know that it's Idaho, not Iowa. I knew very little about farming. Very little about farming. I'd seen some cotton fields in South Georgia. I remember going down to see my aunt and uncle down in Mansfield, Georgia, Madison, Georgia, down south. And I saw, and this is back when I was a boy now, I saw the black women with the sack over their shoulder in the cotton field pulling the bowls, cotton bowls off the cotton fields, cotton plants. I saw that. Little old cotton field. Nothing prettier than a cotton field with the little white bowls on there. I saw that. And I didn't. That's about all I knew. I knew we had peanuts in Georgia. I knew about a garden, but not farming. When I met my wife, her life was farming. Her dad made his living by farming. That's what he was. Had turkeys, had cows for a while. Didn't have them when I met him. Grew hogs, sheep. He had soybeans and corn, and that's what his life was. There, at noon, they had the radio on, WMT 600 out of Cedar Rapids, for the noon farm report to find out how much the prices were per bushel for the corn, the soybeans, the futures on the milk prices, and so forth. All the farm report. That was their life. Now, I want to tell you something. When I married Joyce Christner, but she became Joyce Angel, how do you think she'd have felt if I'd have gone around the house saying, I hate farming. I can't stand farming. I can't stand all this stuff about price per bushel, or how many bushels to the acre, and what was your yield, and what kind of price did you get, and how much your hogs are going. I don't give a rip about any of that stuff. How do you think it had made her feel? Truth of the matter is, I grew to love it because I love her. And now I love to hear the farm report. And I love to follow it. I love to ask my neighbors, how's your yield? And how did your wheat do? And how did your oats do? And how did your corn do? And how did your soybeans do? One of my neighbors on the high ground had 60 bushels of corn to the acre. On the low ground, his yield was 220 bushels to the acre. That's the difference in the high ground and the low ground. That was this year. I love it. And I love her. And the reason I grew to love farming because I love Joyce. And I wouldn't walk around talking about how I can't stand farming and I hate this and hate that when that was her life. Now, I wonder how the Holy Spirit of God feels, who lives in our body and loves singing. And we got boys running around here with a bad attitude about singing. Wonder how the Holy Spirit feels. Some daddy tells his kids sometimes, it don't matter. It don't matter nothing if you don't sing in church. Sing is for sissies. Wonder how the Holy Spirit would feel. Because the Bible says when I'm filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, I might have a song in my heart. Make some melody to the Lord. I love singing. One of the reasons I love singing is because I hope my relationship with the Holy Spirit is pretty decent. It's probably never perfect, but it ought to be pretty decent. And if my relationship with the Holy Spirit is at least somewhat decent, He's going to put a love in my heart for good old singing to the Lord. So you ought to love singing. You ought to love the congregational singing of the church. You ought to love listening to the choir song. You ought to love the special music and love it when you have an opportunity to lift your voice and praise God in song. Now listen, I'm going to wrap this up. In the Bible, God's people sang after great victory. In Exodus 15:1, now listen to this. After the Red Sea miracle. Now God has busted that sea wide open. And those folks have walked over on dry ground, 2 to 3 million of them. And then they watched every Egyptian in that army get drowned. And that's amazing, folks. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale, like I said this morning. That's an unbelievable miracle. Now, what are they going to do after that? They saw a whole Egyptian army drowned in the same sea that they just crossed on dry ground. So what are they going to do to show their appreciation? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They sang after that great victory. That's how they showed their appreciation to God. Numbers 21:17. After God provided water in the desert. We don't live that. We go to the faucet, turn the water, turn the handle, water comes. We go out here to the machine, push a little thing in, water comes. We got water bottles in our cars, in our trucks. We got water, but if you were traveling through a desert land, a dry, arid desert land, every time you crossed the hill, you hoped to find a little oasis somewhere with a spring of water, and there was no 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 water. Then all of a sudden, God did a great miracle and gave them water out of a rock. And Moses hits that rock, and the water comes forth, and it's sweet water. You know how you would feel. Now, what are they going to do? What they're going to do to show God how thankful they are for life-sustaining water. You know what they did? The Bible says, then sang Israel this song. Judges 5 and verse 1. After God gave the Israelites victory over Jabin, the king of Canaan, the Bible says that Deborah and Barak then sang Deborah and Barak. In 1 Samuel 29:5, I mentioned this morning, after David's victory where he took the little stone in the sling, whipped it through the air, and killed that giant Goliath, they said, they sang one to another, David, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 11, after the foundation was laid. Now remember, they had been run out of the nation of Israel into captivity for 70 years. They'd been in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years away from home. 70 years away from the temple. 70 years away from their worship. Then they go back. Zerubbabel and Ezra lead the way. and they lay the foundation. They didn't put... just can't get loud. They didn't put the whole temple up. All they did was get the foundation of the temple. They didn't put the pillars up and the walls, the furniture. All they did was lay the foundation. And the Bible says they sang together. Over and over and over and over and over, when God's people wanted a way to show appreciation to their great God for all of His blessings, they sang. We come here on Sunday. We come here on Wednesday. We come to church together and we're saved. And we're justified. And we're forgiven. And we're redeemed. And we're adopted. And we become the children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given victory over the penalty of sin, over the power of sin. And someday, praise God, over the very presence of sin, it's our victory. Why then shouldn't we do as they did? Lift our voice and sing every Sunday. Say, well, I've had a tough week. Yeah, but that hadn't changed your salvation. Well, I lost my job. I know, but that hadn't changed your salvation. The greatest victory has already been given to us through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Man, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a born-again child of God going to heaven. Every Sunday, there's an opportunity to open up a hymn book and just, I mean, let God know how glad you are that you're a born-again child of God. And if you don't like singing, I don't know what's wrong with you. I really don't. I really don't. And if you like the wrong kind of music, I don't know what's wrong with you. And God can change that like He can change everything else. I shouldn't have got so loud, but I tell you what. If you don't like to sing, you're anti-God's gift, you're anti-Bible, and you're anti-Holy Spirit. You're really giving us an open confession about your relationship with your Bible and the Holy Spirit if you don't like to sing. If you can't sing, you can't sing. If some of you folk got up here to sing, we'd all leave. But when it's time to sing congregational, let it rip, man. Join with Deborah and Barak, and join with the Israelites at the Red Sea, and join with the Israelites in the wilderness, and join with those people that watched David kill Goliath, and join with those Israelites after they laid the foundation, and lift your voice and sing to your great God who has given you the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed this year singing. And I hope we'll be a singing church. Sing and sing and sing to the glory of God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I appreciate you being patient with this voice thing today. And I've been shorter than usual tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now listen, if you're not saved, oh, I tell you, the greatest thing in life is to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You say, well, there seems to be a lot of joy in this in the church. There is. There's a lot of joy in serving the Lord. There's a lot of joy in being saved. And if you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you to come tonight. Brother Caleb will be waiting right down here at the front. Just tell Brother Caleb. Say, Brother Caleb, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't want to go home tonight without knowing that I'm saved. If you've had a bad attitude about singing, why don't you come tonight, get on the altar and just confess that to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I guess I hadn't thought about the fact that you gave us the gift of song. And Holy Spirit, please help me to have a better relationship with you. And I don't mean you have to sing like some people do at the top of their lungs. But boy, when it's your opportunity to grab a songbook and sing for the glory of God, take advantage of it. Because He has given us great victory. Now, if you need to be baptized tonight, it's a good time for you to come. Join the church. Or just pray at the altar. But if you're lost, if you're unsaved, my heart beats for you tonight to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Heavenly Father, it's been a different kind of day. We got so many folks out with this crazy whatever it is. But Lord, in spite of it, you've been good to us. Oh, my goodness. Little call for a cold. Someday we'll be in heaven where there'll be no sickness, none whatsoever. So, Lord, we appreciate the day. I appreciate the patience of the people to come. Be faithful. I pray that you'll heal the sick. I pray that you give a great Thanksgiving week, a great service Tuesday night. Thank you for giving us the gift of singing. Thank you for the people in this church who practice and pray and work up songs that we can enjoy like we heard tonight. God, help us to sing out of gratitude for the great victory you've given us through the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.